Jake, there's a dating site for anti-vaxxers called Unjected.
Unjected has been removed from the Apple App Store.
It is the unvaccinated who are the problem, period, end of story.
Frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
It's the unvaccinated who are the threat.
Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo.
Rest in peace, Wheezy.
The Unjected Show with your hosts, Shelby Thompson, Scott Armstrong, and Zach Brown. The Unjected Show is intended for an adult audience and may contain explicit material. User discretion is advised.
Aloha.
Aloha. What's going on, Shelby?
Welcome to the Unjected Show, you guys. How's it going, Scott?
I'm good. Yourself?
Doing great. Happy Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Happy. So this is our second Wednesday, right?
Yep, second Wednesday show. So I'm already feeling it. I'm having to reprogram my mind because sometimes I schedule, my other show on Wednesdays. And so I'm like, I've been sending out invites. I'm like, hey, can you do Wednesday, third? Oh, no longer Wednesday.
Wednesday?
So I'm in it. Wednesday's unjected now. I love it. It's a great way to break up the week.
Totally. And then you guys, like we keep saying, go out on Friday night, go meet some people. Yeah.
exactly. Go mingle. Go meet somebody uninjected. Take them to a nice steak dinner. There you go.
And for anybody who was a part of our little update last night and into this morning, don't worry. We had a little bit of a kind of when we turned it back on, we noticed it was just a little too slow to our liking. So we made some little adjustments. And so you're going to notice, where the changes go? Is it back to the old or where did the new stuff go? And so don't fret. It should be back hopefully tomorrow with all of the new goodness. So you've got a little taste, but you guys, this is just the real deal, us doing it live. So thank you for being here through this journey and growing with us, because really, this is as grassroots as it possibly gets. So
there's no CIA money. There's no CIA money. This is like
no
this
CIA.
Seriously, I'm really excited, you guys, because we're trying to build something amazing here. Right. And it's a year from now, we're all going to look back at this and laugh and be like, oh my God, remember that time? It took 3 days around the update, but it's like, I promise you guys, it's going to be epic and it's worth the wait. So just hang out a little bit longer, but it's happening. It's literally happening. Like as we speak. So
happening right now.
Yeah.
And literally I'll stop there. And before we get too far into it, and before we bring our guest on, after the podcast, you guys, I want to invite you to join us for our Unvaxxed Lounge. It's kind of what we're calling it. This is the dates through the states that we talked about, where we're having different states come in regionally and we're trying to do a little bit of matchmaking and putting calls out to love. But we noticed that everybody was showing up to the room and we're totally here for it. So that's why it kind of transitioned to the lounge, but we are going to focus on New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania tonight. So if those areas are one of your areas, definitely come by. But either way, come bring a bio, bring a little wish list, and come hang out with us. We're going to stream on X and then also Instagram Live. So we're going to have the chats going on IG. And then for X, you can actually come in and we'll give you the mic to speak yourself.
Yeah, we want to encourage you to come share, come talk, come open up, talk to your fellow unjected people. And in order to talk, you come to the Twitter space, the X space. But like Shelby said, it'll be also co-streaming on Instagram Live, so you can chat in there. But we really want to hear your voice. We want you to step up to the mic and introduce yourself and put your best foot forward. Like, remember last week, I can't remember her name, but that one gal came in. Jessica dropped the hammer.
So good.
Dropped the hammer. So
go listen to her recording and you'll know exactly what to do.
Exactly. So just, we want to hear all your guys' voices. We want to hear, we want to actually get some people together through these little spaces that we're making. So there you go.
URL to IRL. That's the goal, fam.
There you go. So we'll see. That's right after the show tonight, 9:30 Eastern. What would that be? 6:30 Pacific. So see you guys there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Did you have anything else, Shelby?
No, without further ado.
Yeah, without further ado, so we have George Duclius from Jabless Jobs, which you can find more at Maple and Goose and Maple, gooseandmaple.com. And okay, so there's so much to get into here. First of all, George, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. Hey, great to be here.
Yeah, man. When Shelby first told me about Jabless Jobs, I was like, well, that's great marketing. Great little, you nailed it with that branding, great branding. Right. But anyway, the idea of like going into whatever's going to happen next, like all of these employers expose themselves for who they truly are. Right. Yeah. You know what I mean? So any of these big Fortune 500 companies that just went along with it, it's like, so many people got caught in the crossfire of having to choose between their livelihood and their health with a shot. Right. Mm-hmm. And some people capitulated, some people chose to walk away from a career, from, you know, large incomes, and chose to go a different route and find a different path, you know? And it's so interesting. I mean, that I have so many personal things to share on this particular topic, but also at the same time, you know, I feel like going forward, now that these companies have exposed themselves, it's so important for us to support and find and follow and seek employment with the companies that did choose to hold the line and not, you know, and be, you know, respect the sovereignty of their employees and all that stuff. And so now you've created a space for all these people to come together. So we definitely want to bring you on the show to highlight the work you're doing. And so thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah. Very grateful. I'm sure like this is so needed. So needed.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's definitely made an impact for certain here in Canada. We are focused mainly on Canada, and it's been quite the journey. Like you know, Scott, you said the name was genius and great marketing and great branding. It was all accidental, you know, and you also mentioned like people have to choose between livelihood or risking the job. But then a bigger one, in my opinion, and I know this is debatable, but a bigger risk people took was their social status being removed from their circle of people that they've known their whole lives. And that was a major risk. And I think that, you know, someone like me who I grew up in, you know, the 90s, and I was pretty much the point of the arrow for all the new genres. I introduced all my friends to whatever music they still love. I was that guy, right? So I always paved my own path. And when I'd see everyone run one direction, it was just an instinct of mine to run the other way. Only this time, this all happened, right? So when I was being faced with that problem, you know, my employer, I was living in Vancouver at the time, and my employer's, you know, was saying, we're going to have to do this. I just was not going to be a part of it. And so I was running every morning before work then. Unfortunately, I don't do that anymore, but I'd like to. I would wake up every morning at about 3:30, and I'd run 4.5K, and then I'd go to work. And 4.5K, so for your American audience, that's right, maybe almost 3 miles. Okay. And I was washing up after my run, and now it's like 4:30 a.m. And I was just washing my face, and this name came in my head, Jabless Jobs. And I thought, well, hey, that's a good name. That's a good name. Because I was wondering, like, how am I going to, like, I had rent to pay. I needed to find a job I could take a bus to. How do I do that? And so I grabbed my phone, went into the kitchen, sat at the table, and I made a group on Telegram called Jobless Jobs Vancouver. Mm. And then I shared it with some people because I've been attending some of the rallies in the freedom movement at the time. And I did not think I would be getting into the employment space of the freedom movement. I have a background in journalism. So I was writing and photographing at the rallies. And I even had a story published in of a rally in Vancouver. I had it published in a independent news or a company in Canada called True North Center, based out of, I think, out of Alberta, but there's some people in Ontario too. And I was really pumped when I got that story published with my photos and all that. So I thought that was my thing. So I was in, I had won some street clout, sort of some street cred because of that story within the freedom movement. So I was accepted a lot more within the rallies. And so I sent Jobless Jobs Vancouver link on Telegram to a few friends that were in the movement as well. And I got some critique, and then I started seeing people joining, and I started seeing over the next day or so, I started seeing people joining, but they were bringing in all these links of things, and they were dropping in all this noise, you know, and I don't care. I mean, I do care what's happening globally, but when I'm trying to find a job that I could take a bus to, I don't want to have to learn about what's going on in New Zealand. I just want to find a job, right? Like, so I had a friend recommend that I turn it into a channel. So I turned it into a channel and dropped a new email address in there. It said, any employers, just email me. And then I'll make a post for you. And that same morning, I changed it into a channel. I sent it to a few friends again, saying it's been revamped. Tell people to send to this email address, and all just so I could find a job. I was hoping to find a job within a week or two, right? That's why I was pressed on it. I was just like, you know, send this around because I need to find a job like yesterday. And that morning I was still employed and I was worried. That morning I went to work. Knowing the hammer was going to drop soon, and I put my phone in my pocket and I worked the whole morning. When I checked my phone at lunch, Jobless Jobs had grown to over 700 subscribers.
Wow.
And there was already four jobs posted from a friend who I helped added as an admin. And suddenly I went, okay, there's more here than I expected. And it just kept blowing up and going from there. Then we made a whole bunch of more channels on Telegram till October and into November. So let me back up a little bit. We actually started that day when it blew up to 700. That was August 24th of 2021. Wow. And then by mid-October, I borrowed $3,000 from a friend who actually we converted that into shares now. and I incorporated mid-October, and then by mid-November we had our first website, and it all just kept going. Then it was a matter of keeping up, and to date we've facilitated the employment of certainly well over 1,000 Canadians across Canada.
That's amazing.
Melissa's currently daily getting on the phone with all of our all of the business owners, employers who've made accounts with us, and she's actually working towards a final official number, and it's already looking like more than we thought, but we want to stay conservative on it and say at least over 1,000, maybe more, we don't know yet.
Wow, that's so cool.
It's like, it's so beautiful that, you know, you kind of created it out of your own need, but little did you know you were giving a gift to so many others at the same time. That's so amazing. I love that.
Yeah. I think that's falls in the category of conscious capitalism, solving problems, right? You know, like I was solving a problem for myself, and there was maybe 15 to 25% of the country going through the same problem. But I was focused in my world. I was in my own little bubble, and everyone else pulled me into their bubble too. That's kind of how it went. And there's a lot more to that too.
That's amazing, man. I mean, it's sort of similar to Unjected's story. Like, Shelby, you saw a need in the world and poof, there it is, right?
I love bringing gifts to people. That's just, I love stories like that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you guys have a great story. I love your story. Actually, Shelby, I heard you on a podcast about a year ago, and I listened to the origin story and stuff, and I thought that was pretty great. So we were pumped when we heard from you guys.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
That's cool, George, man. Like, you're doing great work, man. So you guys, we have links in the episode description. Anybody that wants to check it out, get more information. So do you have any plans of expanding outside of Canada? I noticed on the website, this is actually kind of funny here. I'll pull this up here. Sure. You guys, if you want to learn more, it's gooseandmaple.com. And then there's links. You can find you're either a someone who's posting jobs, or if you're somebody who is, or if you're a business posting jobs, or if you're looking for a job. But Shelby, look at these synchronicities, right? So right now on the website, there's one job. It's in Tennessee. In Nashville, which is where I live. This is where I live.
Oh, no way. That's great. Yeah,
I live in Nashville. I looked at it. I'm like, God, do I want to go do this? Like, I kind of want to work with these people. So it's in Nashville. If you live in Nashville, Tennessee, you can. It's a made pro, like supervisor.
Wow, it's a really good paying job.
Yeah, you know, it's not bad. So if all else fails, I'm gonna go work for these guys because they obviously get it. And then there's another the other synchronicity, Shelby. If you look at this, if you go back to work from home, right? So there's a couple of work from home postings, and look who they're from.
Oh yeah, the wellness company. Yeah.
So if you're looking for an executive assistant work from home job with the wellness company, bam. Head over, or director of partnership. So like, dude, I might have to apply for this job. No,
those jobs are just for Canadians. I mean, I think maybe Americans can apply to those, but Foster and his team posted these jobs with us when they launched the wellness company in Canada.
Yeah. Canada. That's beautiful. So cool. Yeah, that's cool. I'm just joking.
I love that we're all connected like one.
Yeah. I already basically worked for the wellness company, so it's fine. It's cool.
To be honest, like with the job from Tennessee, that is a Canadian employer who has an opening in Tennessee.
Beautiful.
And I want to take this opportunity to give a shout out to redballoon.work and Public Square. Because like you asked how we're expanding. We're not expanding beyond our borders. I'm quite confident, and I know Canada very well, especially Western Canada. If you go from the Lake Superior to the Pacific Ocean and up to the Arctic, I'm getting to know it all very well. And so we decided to just focus our attention on Canada, and we just want to blow some wind in the sails of Red Balloon and Public Square, because we're essentially doing what both of them are doing on one website in Canada. And that's how we are expanding, is through just broadening our services, but we're keeping it simple. We're just a job board still. The job board is still called Jobless Jobs. The website's called gooseandmaple.com. I can talk a little bit more about that if you like, but then we have the other side of the website is a business directory, and a business owner can access both services from one dashboard, which is incredibly hard to do somehow.
Yeah, so Goose and Maple, that's
amazing. Yeah, we know what you mean, that it is hard to do.
Business directory, Jobless Jobs, and then if you're a person, a customer, someone looking for a jab-free business, or someone looking for work, we got featured jobs. Yeah,
there you go. I love that. Especially too, for anybody, any of your audience listening, we're going to be doing so our dates through the States, or our Unvaxxed Lounge, we have one night that's dedicated just for business directories every other week. So our Sunday evening this week is actually going to be for businesses. So any business owners that are listening to this right now, Canada or US or wherever you are, come in, but especially your guys's, your business owners. Absolutely. It's a great time to come by and do a little shout out.
Yeah.
When's the date on that?
This Sunday. Sunday.
9:30 Eastern.
We're gonna do more. We're gonna have Sunday. In the coming weeks too, so we can talk more about it. But
yeah, just let me know next time and ahead of time, and we'll drop it in our newsletter.
Cool.
Awesome. And that reminds me too, if you guys are out there watching and you're sitting on the fence about an Unjected membership, if you guys actually use the code Unjected Show when you sign up for an Unjected membership, you get 50% off your first month. So
unreal,
and 50%. You know.
Yeah, because we love you guys so much.
Yep. So come by the site, like by tomorrow, hopefully, like by the weekend. It's gonna be brand new.
It's live. You can use it right now.
Well, but, no, the website's working. Yeah.
But, the updates will be in tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah. And if I'm I don't know. Am I lagging for you guys? I'm lagging on my side. I look great.
You're kind of choppy, maybe.
So it's completely downpouring like a monsoon right now. Oh, so wow. that would be why.
Okay. Well, hopefully, as long as you still have the connection, and we can still hear you, so that's fine.
Okay. Cool.
That's fine. So George, we were talking a little bit before the show, and one of the things you brought up that I was really interested to hear more about is you're mentioning how, particularly in America, there might be some perceptions that are kind of inaccurate, because I will tell you this, like what I see in Canada is, just complete government overreach and tyranny to an extent that's like should not be permitted or accepted by any free human ever. You know what I mean? And so, you were saying that, you know, maybe the world sees that as a lack of resistance upon the populace, but, tell us more. What is the resistance like in Canada?
Well, what you described of the government is correct. Yeah. I can confirm that, you know, absurd government overreach, and I don't know how they expect to call it a democracy when they're acting that way. And they're trying to push for more. There's all these new bills on the table for absurdity around the corner. It's like, you know, a new form of communism, you know, with, you know, same candy, different wrapper kind of thing. And so what I'm gathering that a lot of Americans are thinking is that we're just rolling over and taking it and maybe even voting for it. Like I saw Tucker Carlson, he went to Alberta and I watched his like monologue on going to Canada. He's like, I'm going to free Canada. And I'm just, I'm not quoting him, but I'm paraphrasing, but it was all about how he's bringing freedom to Canada. And we appreciate the attention and all that. And I like that he did that, but we got it, you know, where there's a whole network of people coming together here. And I believe in, you know, freedoms being maintained through, by democratizing economic opportunities. That's how the Soviet Union fell, a parallel society forming in Czechoslovakia, the former Czechoslovakia is what expanded into the black market that then ended up, you know, taking down one arrow that helped take down the Soviet Union. And we've seen it happen in many other communist countries as well, is the black market just ends up overriding the communist rule. And you can call it a black market or a parallel society. And I don't like either terms. I understand the meaning and I support the meaning, but I don't like using those words. You know, we're wide open. Anyone can come to our website and see a business on there and say they're on the Jobless Jobs website. Then what a bunch of, you know, fools, whatever they want to say. But we're not keeping it secret. We're not hiding our market and our economy, a parallel one, if you like. We're not hiding it in the back alleys. Mm-hmm. We're owning our position in Canada. We are part of the economy and we're taking a front seat on it. And that's what we're doing by keeping our website open. It's a show of resistance by just signing up and showing that you are a business who is willing to be on this website as an employer or as being found on the directory. So it's growing and we're really proud of it. And I have to say, like, the employers and the business owners on there are my heroes, because there'd be nothing, there'd be no jobs, there'd be no website if it wasn't for the employers coming forward, and they're taking a greater risk than I am. I'm taking a social risk, but I've already had that figured out. I had nothing to lose economically, but the business owners are taking a full-on socioeconomic risk, and they're my heroes. They're Canadian heroes, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's fascinating.
I love that. That was really powerful too. Just the point that you made of, you know, just signing up and being part of this and being part of that parallel system. Like, that's, you know, it's showing your character and it shows your convictions and your morals. And, you know, I'm there for that. That's what we tell people at Injected. Just, you know, even if there's no one in your area, if you're on the website, you're showing your support and your love. Yeah. And, you know, you're going to end up finding your perfect person. They're out there. And I'm lagging so bad. This is almost hysterical. But
are you following along with the conversation? Like, can you see us okay?
I can see you guys perfectly.
Yeah,
but
that's
I guess,
weird.
I don't know what's up with me. Should I leave and come back?
No, your audio is coming through pretty good. I'm not hearing you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
As long as you're not just keep a smile on your face.
Just ignore me. Just ignore my
smile on your face, because hopefully it doesn't freeze in like an awkward face.
I know.
Smile, go. That's the risk. That's the risk you run. But
I'll take the risk.
And I will say this. I'll say Zach. Big shout out to Zach. He's caught in a flood tonight. Our third host of the show. Oh. He's normally here. He's like, it's flooding up in New Jersey right now, and he's dealing with all that. So,
damn.
Thoughts and prayers. With, he said he's fine. He's just dealing with a bunch of stuff. So. Prayers to Zach. We love you, buddy. So
good luck, Zach.
Yeah. So that's really interesting how you the idea of the black market, the parallel society. Like I mean, that I talk about that stuff all the time. I mean, you know what I mean? Like that is how you topple empires. And the more tyranny they come out with, the more nonsense it gets, or let's say become some sort of like central bank digital currency, which is, you know, on the forefront of everybody's mind. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, then there would immediately emerge some sort of black market, like some sort of exchange or some sort of commerce that would exist, you know. But I've never had the association of the idea of a parallel society being like a clandestine thing, like something in the background. To me, that's like, no, we're legitimately in your face building the system that will continue to thrive as your system fails completely, you know. And I've been on such an interesting journey with this, you know. Like I started out, you see I got my megaphone right here. I got a lot of street cred, like in the beginning of COVID. There's some videos that I did, like of like bullhorning certain things and doing some fun stuff with the bullhorn.
We should play one of those, because
we will
sheer gold.
I can pull it up here in a minute. It's actually pretty damn funny, but anyway, but you know what I mean. But like, to me, like when I first got involved in like activism and stuff, like that was, to me, like I didn't know any other way. I didn't know of a solution outside of just screaming at buildings and trying to just be a dissident and stuff like that, right? And then it was actually, you know what's funny, I have it right here. I actually read this book right here, Conscious Resistance, Derek Bros, John Vibes. Awesome. That really broke down, like, and then, well, immediately after COVID happened, we started just organizing in-person meetups through the Freedom Cell Network. And then I read this book by Derek Bros, who helped start the Freedom Cell Network. And it kind of put all these ideas of building the parallel society into my head. And I'm like, and not only that, but it was stuff that I was already doing already. We immediately, like, just intuitively, I knew that we had to find our people locally. We had to start building community. We had to start building something else. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was just my intuition. Then I read this book and it just like put it all into, I was like, oh, this is the solution. We don't have to we don't have to storm capitals. We don't have to drive to the Capitol and start honking our horns for a week. Like that doesn't, I mean, it gets you headlines, but it doesn't move the needle in the direction we need it to go. Right. We need to be out there building and being productive. You know what I mean? And so like every little node of everybody that's attempting to do that in each of their corner, like with Jobless Jobs, you're creating a place for people to come together to, you know, find employment or employers to grow their business with other like-minded people. Like it's just fascinating. So the idea of building the parallel society to me is like, I'm very loud and proud about it. Like we're in your face about it. Like we're unjected and we're here to stay. You know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, it's a powerful thing we get to do. Sorry. That was my rant for the night. So.
No,
it's great. It's a very powerful thing. I mean, and I'm wrestling over the terms. Like I said, I don't like those words.
Yeah,
but I like the concept. So I've tried around, like I've messed around with some words and try to rename it, rebrand a parallel society, so to speak. Yeah. And I just haven't nailed it yet. And maybe it'll just, you know, stand in history as Goose and Maple.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that totally. And if you, especially if you're staying in Canada, that really gets your point across perfectly. Yeah, exactly. I look at my frozen. That's too much.
Yeah.
You still look happy.
Yeah,
I'm curious. When was your wake up moment? You know, it sounds like you were obviously awake before 2020. Was there like a specific moment for you where you remember kind of realizing that, you know, things weren't as they seem?
During the subprime mortgage crisis in 2008. How far back you want to go, really? I've always been on the outskirts of society, really. Like I've always felt like I was someone from the outside looking in. And I was always willing to, you know, make a social sacrifice. So I suppose, like, you know, my earliest wake up was seeing how absurd people thought it was that I didn't run off and get my driver's license at 16. Like, why does everyone just follow the pack like that? Why am I why don't I care? You know? And then I was working in the news business in 2008, and I noticed, you know, a real disconnect between the news media and the public. And I can unpack that if you want. And it had a lot to do with the the subprime mortgage crisis barely affected Canada. You know, you can, there's some people that got horribly affected in Canada, I'm sure. And I don't want to, you know, devalue what they went through in any way, but we did not go through a recession, and we didn't have, you know, the problems that occurred during in the United States, to that level. But what we did have is the newspaper industry, you know, took a huge hit, and it wasn't because of lack of local economy. It was because they had put all their eggs in one basket for advertising, which was national car ads. And as we know, in the subprime mortgage crisis there, the automobile industry took a huge hit and was bailed out by the government, by the US government, and they had to pull all their ads out of, you know, international newspapers. And I noticed that, you know, where I was affiliated with was the Winnipeg Free Press, and they were going through a crisis for the first time ever, because they were dependent largely on automobile ads from Detroit, from, you know, the United States. And I was like, why doesn't the Winnipeg Free Press depend on advertisement from businesses in Winnipeg? And that was my first wake up moment. Like, they're disconnected. Hmm. You know, they're not, they don't know Winnipeggers. They've missed the boat. They're missing it. We're not connected anymore. And because I had a background in news all through the next decade or so, I watched a lot of news, but I was always so skeptical of it. And I watched the CBC, which I used to be very proud of, as most Canadians were. Mm-hmm. I watched the CBC dwindle into this like bubble, this thought bubble. And it just hurt to see, because there was a lot of our national culture based around the CBC. And it's been a disgrace to watch them, you know, get so disconnected by them from the majority of Canadians, and living in their high society condos in Toronto and making these decisions on behalf of central Alberta that they have no idea about. And that's a problem. That's a serious problem. And that was my first wake up. So then, you know, speeding up to 2020, talk of COVID was lingering, you know, in December 2019 and January 2020, this was starting to ramp up in the media. And then, I mean, I think it was March 16th or something, that mid-March when it really hit, at least in Canada, at least where I was, and everything started shutting down, and it got eerie, and buses were empty, and all the stores were closed. Mm-hmm. It just started getting weird like that. Well, I was working construction in a drilling division in Vancouver, and we were considered essential, but they cut us back to working 3 days a week. And on those days that I had it off, I was watching every news conference, every press conference I could. I'd go on and I'd find all the Canadian news broadcasters online, and I'd watch them throughout the whole day, every broadcast. And they were all saying the same thing. And the real wake-up call to COVID for me was, every province has a health minister in Canada, and we also have a federal health minister. Not one of them encouraged Canadians to be healthy. not once. Just to think that the health minister is not telling us this is a respiratory problem. You should strengthen your respiratory system. Do cardio every day if you can. Yeah. You know, they not one of them said that.
Don't help them.
Yeah. So this is when I realized there's a potential fox guarding the hen house. Ugh. You know, and I started thinking about the medical system in Canada, and another institution that we were many Canadians were very proud of once, because it's universal health care, and it's wonderful for many reasons, but we're living in a time now of why why it can't work. And so I'm a supporter of a two-tiered system in Canada. I want to see a private sector emerge and be just as strong as the public sector. of healthcare.
Oh, geez. All the Bernie bros' heads just exploded right there. No, I'm just
kidding. Well, I got an argument for both sides. You know, I understand it, you know. And I a lot of us have felt the effects of it. So, like, when it's you can argue for no private sector in Canada until, you know, until your dad gets told he has 2 months to live and an MRI would certainly help for a surgery, but there's a 6 month waiting list.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my personal experience, right?
Yeah, that's another thing we wanted to talk about too, is you're talking about the, are you seeing an emerging private sector? Like we hinted on it a little bit earlier. So you have organizations like the Wellness Company, right? Yeah. Who are popping up and creating alternative, at least access to rudimentary medical services. Like they can do telehealth visits and prescriptions and stuff like that. So you're cutting out a lot of, you know, the middleman aspect of a lot of these medical establishment systems, right? Like you don't need to wait to go to see the doctor. You just make an appointment with the wellness company, for example, and like just get, like, if you need some ivermectin or something like that. So tell us about your a little bit more on what you're seeing in terms of like this emerging private sector. Like, is that what you're talking about, or are you seeing other things too?
Yeah. You know, and just to describe the public sector a little bit, every province has, you know, a college of physicians and surgeons, for example, and that's who governs the doctors of that province. And there's other, like there's a college of psychology for every province. And I don't remember the exact terms for all of them, but the different forms of types of medicine that doctors practice, they sort of answer to a different college of something. So this is where, and then the College of Physicians and Surgeons, you know, all you have to do is take over that one office and you've got control of the entire province's medical system.
Whoa. Right.
So like imagine being, someone who got into medicine for all the right reasons, because you care about people and you're willing to, you know, make all these, you know, personal and social sacrifices in your personal life relationship to go through that schooling, to go through those, you know, 12-hour shifts during your internship with no pay. There's a huge sacrifice the medical professionals have taken just to be in that position. And we want to honor that, absolutely. But imagine being one of those people and then learning about the benefits of cutting out carbs and then learning about the benefits of, what we might term an alternative medicine, like, you know, this prescription might not work for your skin, but this tallow cream might work. Yeah. They're not allowed to speak on that. They're not allowed to be that. Imagine being that person who finds a potential cure and wants to practice what they're learning, but can't because the College of Physicians and Surgeons is dangling their right to a license in front of them and saying, you have to follow this script. And so there's a lot of people in the medical industry, in the medical profession who were always locked in that box. And then COVID happened. And, you know, it's hard to say, but we think conservatively roughly 15% of the population took a stand. And that, you know, and that's an umbrella statement. It's really hard to find official stats on that. But we want to say as Jobless Jobs that we think it's somewhere around 15% of the population. It could be higher, but I want to keep conservative on those numbers. So let's just say roughly 15% of the medical professionals took a hand. It could be higher, it could be less, but roughly around there. And they lost their jobs. And now they were afraid of losing their license. And that's right. Like that's fair. But suddenly I spoke with a few of them in Vancouver, when it was all happening at the time. Some have become really great friends and they told me that what they went through was this, like this fear and this worry about losing their medical license, nurses too. And then suddenly when they lost their license, this transition happened, like the box was opening. And suddenly they realize like they know all this medical stuff, all about, you know, conventional modern medicine, and they can couple it with these things that they've been learning on the side and were never allowed to put in practice. So they just have to rebrand themselves and become a practitioner independently, and they can start their own business. And a lot of them in Canada are working as a membership group. So you buy a membership with a group of private doctors, and then it's like joining a gym. And that's how they're able to bypass the licensing and the laws. They're not just not allowed to call themselves doctors or nurses, but they can publicly state that they were anesthesiologists for 20 years and they lost their job during COVID, and now they're working to do this. You can take my service or not.
That's amazing.
And so we're seeing a lot of that, and in all honesty, that seeing that happening in 2021 and 20 into 2022 is the influence for us deciding to make a business directory, because we know there's going to be a lot of single owner operators out there who need to tap into our audience. So I'm watching this grow, and then there's an organization called Canada Health Alliance. Shout out to Alan. Canada Health Alliance is I don't want to say a governing body for the private sector, but they're becoming a unifying body for the private sector. And we're in talks about working together and just helping each other to elevate in our missions and our goals. And they started out of Alberta, and they have members on Canada Health Alliance throughout the country. And this is all private sector, you know, medical professionals who are just, you know, even nurses who just stopped being a nurse and took an esthetician course and running it out of their home. There's a lot of scenarios like that where there's like, I'm finally going to do what I've always wanted to do, and that is combine my conventional medicine knowledge with alternatives that can become the new mainstream. And I'm really proud of a lot of our medical professionals for taking a stand that way and giving us alternatives. And, you know, I really believe in a two-tiered system, like the private sector and the public sector. There's a lot of great things about having a public sector. Like I don't have to keep a job in order to see a doctor, right? Yeah. That happens a lot in the States. Like there's a lot of people living paycheck to paycheck. And if they lose their job, they lose their health insurance. And I don't want to see Canada in that situation. I don't like that. And that's not good, because that deters someone from taking a risk as an entrepreneur, for example, leaving their job to start a business, but they have kids and a wife and whatever, and a loved one and aging parents. They're going to lose their health coverage if they quit their job to start a business. I don't like that. And so I could be really broke in Canada and still go see a doctor. That was the case for much of my life. Now there's a huge waiting list and it's gotten really bad. So the private sector is emerging, and that's going to alleviate the public sector. And it's going to just, you know, take some pressure off the lineups. And why would anyone argue that? That is a great thing. That is a wonderful thing. And I don't understand why people are so opposed to having a private sector emerging in Canada, which many are. It's absurd.
Well, why do you think they're vaccinated? Like who's
I'm kind of curious. Yeah, is it like the more conservative people that are opposed to it, or is it more the liberal people that are,
like, who would ever oppose that?
I would say it's the more liberal people, like the NDP and the liberal followers. And you know, that's a bit of an umbrella statement. I mean, there's probably a little bit on both sides.
Sure.
And the line is a little blurry too, because many of us for much of our lives, we're very proud of our universal healthcare. You know, at least I started seeing start to show some cracks about, you know, around 2000, 2001.
I would say it's just a different type of corruption. Like it's still going to get corrupted and it's still going to get overrun, and it's still going to, you know, serve the needs of the pharmaceutical industry and the establishment than it is the health of the people. And you know what I mean? They just have to figure out a different way to corrupt it, I guess, you know,
infiltrate.
Yeah. Well, if it's decentralized, it's a little harder, right?
Only
let the market decide. But when you got a college of physicians and surgeons overseeing being the governing body of every province and every doctor in that whole province, then it's really easy to infiltrate that. And now you've got the fox guarding the hen house across the country.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the story here. Like, we got the FDA, CDC, like they've been completely captured, and they just do the bidding of the pharmaceutical industry. Like, this agenda wouldn't have gotten as far as it was able to get without the complicit nature.
Cartel minions.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's just
basically what they are. Oh, yeah,
totally. They're I think it should stop at a certain point too. Like, yeah. I think that some of those private hospitals in the United States might not have been corrupted if they didn't have shareholders. Like, I think there's some industries that shouldn't be allowed to go public. Yeah. Know, like, look what's happened with Boeing.
Prisons.
Yeah. Too. Whatever affects the well-being and the safety of human life, that there should be a conversation about whether or not they should be allowed to go public.
Yeah, especially if they make more money off of like the suffering of humans or the imprisonment of humans. It's like, hey, the more people we lock up, the more money we make. So, the more pharmaceuticals we push, or the more surgeries we get, or the more C-sections we perform, the more money we get. You know what I mean?
And so it's about quarterly profits at that point, not long term, victories.
No.
Right.
No. So, yeah, I mean, again, it's back to the parallel society. Like, one of the key aspects of it is having, decentralized nodes of whatever it is, like all over the place, right?
And yeah.
Something that can't be captured or taken advantage of, you know what I mean? So,
free enterprise, let the market decide.
Exactly. You know what I mean? It's so wild, man. I'm loving it. So what is the employment situation like in Canada? Like, is it, cause like here in the United States, it's what I've noticed is, so I'm just fully entrepreneur. Like, I just do all my own ventures myself. And so I haven't like had to look for a job in a while, but what you see everywhere in the United States is you see help wanted signs. You know, I feel like there's a severe lack of people that even want to work, and I don't even know how that happened. Like, how are all these people even surviving without working? Like, maybe they all just made a bunch of money on Bitcoin or something. I don't know. But for some reason, like, there's a lack of people wanting to work, I guess, the type of jobs that you would work in, like a retail establishment or something like that. It's just like, nobody wants to do that type of work. Maybe they found other ways to make money, but it feels, and then the quality of people like that actually have these jobs, it's like, what is going on here, dude? Like, I remember like 20 years ago, you get good help at like a store or something. It's like, no, those days are over. So I don't know what's going on, but what is it like in Canada? Like, is there an abundance of jobs? Is there an abundance of, or like, is there people like, I mean, give me the breakdown here.
There's an abundance of jobs. You pretty much described Canada's job market too. What you said too, like, there's a little bit more to it that I can unpack. There is an abundance of jobs, and very few people in trades. A lot of the tradespeople are retiring or aging out, and it's very hard. It's very, very, very hard to fill a trades role in Canada.
Wow. I tell you what, you guys out there watching the show, let's say you're young, you're like thinking about going to college or something, like, don't go to, I'm not gonna tell you what to do,
don't go to college.
Like, I'm pissed that, like, my parents, for example, like, my mom was a career counselor too at our high school. You know, she worked at my high school, which meant I had to go to every class every day, and I got straight A. You know, I was a very good little student. Because she worked breathing over my shoulder every day. But you'd think that she would at least present me with this option. She'd be like, if I would have known when I was like 16 years old that I could start being like an apprentice electrician or something like that, dude, I'd be worth millions right now. I'd have my own company. I'd have like millions of dollars, dude. Like, are you kidding me? Like, how's that not even presented as an option to me? You know what I mean? And then it's like, go ahead.
My dad told me, when I was about 19 or 20, that I should be, a dishwasher repairman.
That's a great job.
And I just, at the time I was like, no way, I'm like so above that. I'm going to conquer the world. You're just young and cocky but he was right. I probably should have done that. He was in trades. He was a cabinet builder, and had his own business. And so I'm sure he knew that there was a lack of dishwasher repairmen out there, and there still is. So, You know,
I'll tell you what, I mean, especially the way the world is going, man, they're not going to need like HR managers much longer.
No.
Like, they're going to need plumbers, electricians, and like builders, people like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like these diverse, like they're not going to need diversity, equity, and inclusion officers anymore. Okay. I'm telling you right now, you don't even want to
pursue
that. Electrician. DEI is getting really bad.
Okay. Tell us about that. Like, is it just in your face right now? Or like, what's up with that?
Yeah, it's almost every company that's, you know, got more than two locations of any kind. Yeah. So any business that has two stores, or any credit union that has, you know, more than one location. And there's a lot that aren't. I don't want to lump them all, but there's a lot of them that are doing that. And we're about to unveil a lot of the DEI, jargon coming out of a credit union out of the Lower Mainland of British Columbia. It's public knowledge. You can go on their website and read it. You can go on their annual report and read this stuff, but no one's talking about it. No one's really aware of it. And there's a lot of people in the freedom movement that bank with that credit union. And so we're going to be, over the next few weeks, we're going to start the unveiling of a lot of the DEI that's coming out of that one bank.
George, where do you publish this stuff? You guys have like a Substack or something?
No, we find the best place for us to be active is on Facebook, as much as we hate it, because we can niche down our community. We have one of the biggest Facebook freedom groups in Canada. It's called BC Businesses Against Health Pass. Wow. There's a little over 124,000 members on that. And then we have another one that's a chat group called Fully Open Canada, a chat room. And then there's one we just started where we're going to be unveiling all that. It's called Cash is King Canada. It's all about, like, we just feel that it needs, I just felt there, like me and Melissa were talking about it, there needs to be more of a discussion about arming ourselves with the financial language of things, right? Like there we need to arm ourselves with knowledge on finance and economic, all things economic in Canada, so we can be ready if this digital currency is actually going to come through. We started that group last week, and it's already grown to, over 1200 members. Wow. And it's very passionate. People are very passionate about this subject. And it's growing. So that's where, this individual came forward to me saying, like, I got a family member that works for this bank, and you got to know what they're doing, George, like, this is really bad, and my loved ones are going to be quitting. They've never had problems. They've only made money for the bank, but they're being forced into apologizing for being white and all this, and it's getting really bad. And I just thought, okay, well, let's unveil this in a series. So we developed a series called Bust the Banks. Not that we want the banks to fail, but we want to bust them and expose them for stuff like Bank of Nova Scotia, for example, in Canada. You guys might want to know this. And I can only verify this by an interview I saw with George Young, the main character in the movie Blow. He stated that he was going into Panama and Miami and depositing his cash into the Bank of Nova Scotia branches. So it's clear to me, and I'm looking online often trying to find some verification, but I don't think that George Young was lying. When I saw him in that interview, and I know that the Bank of Nova Scotia went international a lot more than a lot of the other Canadian banks. So I'm researching, and I'm trying to find some sort of statement or proof, or maybe even I'll have to find that interview again to unveil the fact that, potentially, I can't call it a fact just yet, but there's large reason to believe that Bank of Nova Scotia in Canada, accepted large amounts of cash from known drug traffickers working for Pablo Escobar all through the 70s and 80s. And people need to know this stuff. So I'm just trying to research and verify this stuff and expose them. Like, that's why we want to catch you red-handed. Like, a lot of people don't realize that a bank is retail. You get to choose where you put your money. When they offer you a credit card or any kind of line of credit, that's a product. They made a sale if you say yes. So it's retail. and people need to take more control of how they choose to, where they choose to, you know, keep their finances and their savings. And just to expose the banks and their, what they do in Canada, needs to be, you know, there needs to be more of a conversation on that. And that's why we started that group. And that's where we're going to start unveiling the Bust the Bank thing on that, that credit union in British Columbia.
Wow.
Oh, I like it.
Take it on the banks, man. Take it on the banks.
You're vigilante.
I love it. I think as a,
really in the best way possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, really the only thing you got to worry about is inventing a car that runs on water. Apparently that's a big one. As long as you're not doing that, you should
not be off for that one. That's for sure. Yeah, it runs on water. Runs on happiness.
Yeah, it runs on happiness, dude. That'd be great. That'd be hilarious. Yeah. Nice, man. Fascinating stuff. So,
totally.
Yeah, man. So what's next for you guys? Are you just going to focus? So you're focusing on Canada. Mm-hmm. And business directories. Okay, so yeah, come join us Sunday nights. Like, yeah, if you have a newsletter, definitely shoot that out to the people. Let them know that we're just we've got business. We're having like a business directory lounge. And anybody out there listening right now, just so you know, like, come hang out with us on our spaces this Sunday, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. Come hang out if you got a business. If you know a business, come shout it. Let them know about it. Come shout it out. Yeah. We're doing the lounge right after this show. Well, almost. It's like an 9:30 Eastern, about 30 minutes after the show. George, we'll shoot, man. Like, spend some time here and tell everybody where they can follow and support you. You've got all these Facebook groups. So right now in the episode description, folks, I have I got all these dang old tabs open. Okay. So I've got the website, gooseandmaple.com. That's where you'll find the business directory and the Jabless jobs. You can post a job, list your business. There's links in the episode description for that. The Goose and Maple Facebook group and Instagram. So what else do you want to make sure that people know about in order to follow and support you?
Well, we're hardly operating on Instagram anymore. We're just taking a break from Instagram. Like you said, you can find us at gooseandmaple.com. You can also go to, if you're in BC or even Western Canada, you can ask to be a member on BC Businesses Against Health Pass Facebook group. If you have something to say that's a little risky, maybe you can go to Fully Open Canada chat group on Facebook and join that. If you want to learn about finances and the all things economic in Canada, and keeping cash alive in Canada, you can join it's called Cash is King Canada on Facebook. Or if you have any questions for us, or even just want to, you know, tell us a story or say hi, you can send us an email at hello@gooseandmaple.com.
Cool. All right, so we got the Facebook. That's the Goose and Maple Facebook, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I love the cover photo.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then is this the Fully Open Canada chat room? Is that this?
Yeah, that's it. That's it right there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Wow, 20,000. Yeah. So easy. You guys, again, in addition to all of this, like the parallel system, parallel society, it's all about community, finding community.
There.
Do you guys do any like in-person meetups or anything like that? Do you guys do anything like that?
In the future, I'd love to, but you know, we're a small team. That's how we're able to keep our prices low. I mean, it's so hard for people right now in Canada. I don't know about the States, but economically, it's just absurd. Our cost of living is just atrocious. It's amazing we're staying alive. A lot of people are on the verge, living paycheck to paycheck, and so we're committed to keeping our prices low for Canadians, so that way they can post a job, and it's even free if you want to sign up your business. The first tier is called Essential, and it's free if you want to just be on the business directory. You can get on there for free. And then there's another tier that's $65 a year if you want to have more features on your business directory profile. It's really a matter of us just keeping our team small to keep our prices low. So with having a small team, our bandwidth is always just stretched to the max.
Well, what I would say is like your people that are on your Facebook groups, like put it out to them, put it on them, be like, hey, you guys, they should start organizing in-person meetups. Like, just have like, and they can self-organize and decentralize and just do Charters, you know,
chapters.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's where the real magic happens. Once you start doing in-person meetups, is right. That's where it really.
Well, you know, there's a lot of groups that are doing that, and we just want to do encourage them. Like, I want to give a shout out to Free to Fly. Nice. Greg is doing some great work on behalf of the aviation industry and the freedoms in there. And there's also a group called BC Rising. I want to give a shout out to Erica, Randy, Lisa, and Maya. They're making some really big moves recently in British Columbia, and they could actually make some change. And this is just goes to show of people who have just stayed at it over the last 3+ years. Who have actually gotten better organized and just better at doing what they're doing and making change. So there's a lot of people doing meetups, and I want to just elevate them. Cool.
Beautiful, awesome. Beautiful. Right on.
So yeah, wonderful.
Man. Yeah.
Really grateful for everything that you've done for your community. And I know this is going to continue to grow. And geez, if they hit us with another disease X or something, everybody's going to be running to find a new job again. So
good
work, because it's so needed.
Yeah. Well, even still, like the fallout from what happened, there's people just want an employer they can trust. They just want to know that their employer is on the same page as them and won't ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't have to go through it again.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing too, I wanted to say this earlier, but just an observation, like in your case, like, isn't it amazing? Like, when you get faced with that situation where you're forced between, you know, your job or, you know, that, you know, but then when you stick true to your principles and you just actually do what you know is right, then you kind of, now you're on this completely other different path, and look at you now, man. Like, it's so invigorating to be on this side of that, because it's scary while it's happening. But then when you get to the other side of it, and it's like, now I'm doing like something that I'm passionate about, and it's my life's purpose. And it's like, wow, how did this happen? It's all about staying strong and holding the line. And then like, it usually you will be rewarded for it. So in your case, amen to that. Anybody else out there listening, you know, whatever you get faced with going forward, you know, just know you can just stare down the beast and just stay true to yourself, and it will always deliver you where you were meant to be. Because apparently you weren't meant to be on that path before, right?
Well said. Yeah.
There you go.
You know.
Mic drop.
There you go. Well, I had the
stare
same
the beast in the eyes.
Stare the beast in the eyes. Say nope.
Tell him no.
You ain't injecting me. I'm gonna go start my own business. What do you think about that?
Yeah. There you go.
That's what's up.
Yeah, it's so funny.
I was just talking to a friend earlier today. It's like, you know, every time, like the more tyranny they throw out there, the more I level up. Like, I don't know. Like, I just keep getting involved in all these projects. And it's like, I'm like, okay, cool. Bring on some more tyranny. Cause I'm just going to crush even harder. Like, awesome. I love it.
It's like strength training. It's endurance training. It's like, you guys, we're getting so good at this. Just wait.
Oh,
wait till these X, you're screwed. We're all triathletes by now.
Yep. Every time Trudeau announces a new bill, like, our website gets more traffic.
Yeah, see?
It's just throwing, you know, it's just fueling us. So keep it up, Trudeau.
Exactly. Dude, see, that's exactly what I'm talking about, dude. And it's funny because Unjected, the places that have the most people on Injector, the place with the most tyranny, like California, New York, Toronto. I think our biggest thing are like California, New York, Toronto, dude. Like, I think,
the strictest,
you know,
place.
Seattle.
I got a part of my heart in California. When I was growing up, I would stay up late in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and I would watch surf movies from the 60s on reruns on TV. I just had this likeness, this loving nostalgia for California my whole life. And then in the late 90s, I went hitchhiking. I've been all through California. I've hitchhiked almost every road, and it's beautiful, wonderful people there. I lived on a rooftop in Santa Cruz. I've met some of the kindest people in California when I was in LA. It's true. When I was in LA and my time in California hitchhiking is why I'm going to spend the rest of my life saying that most of the people on planet Earth are nice and have nothing but the best of intentions, because I must have had 1,000 strangers in California pull over and give me a ride. And they were just amazing, inspiring people. So shout out to California. You've had a wonderful influence on my life. And going forward and trusting strangers and trusting that the world is a better place than the news media tends to tell us. So my heart breaks for what's happening in California, and just know all of you Californians, I love you all.
Oh, that's so cool, man.
We love you, California.
Yeah, we love you, California. Well, you guys will figure it out one of these days. And I got to say, we love you too, Canada. I've been to Canada before. Not China. Very much. I've been to, I've been to British Columbia. That's about the extent of my Canadian visit. But I'm from Oregon, so I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. So I know all about, I'm a Pacific Northwest kid through and through. But man, yeah, like, you know, we're all going to get through this, man. Like Trudeau is like the laughingstock of the world. Like he's on his way out, dude. There's going to be a big referendum and it's just, we're all going to come out of this. Like, you know, it's going to be good, dude.
It's going to be good. It's pretty embarrassing. He's embarrassing our country horribly. And I don't want people to think that we're just rolling over. Well, I don't know.
I'd say he's probably worse. Biden, dude.
He's Trudeau.
Trudeau. Yeah. Well, my favorite, I think I've said this a million times on the show, but is that Babylon Bee headline where it was like, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announces that he's getting divorced from his wife. Canadians are shocked that he was married to a woman.
A woman actually.
I'm like, wait a minute.
It's really embarrassing. There's going to be an election in 2025.
Okay.
Let's hope. Let's cross our fingers. And you know, it's a complete betrayal to the country. Like for most of my life, I was a liberal. My dad was a strong, you know, supporter of the Liberal Party. But the Liberal Party is nothing like it used to be now. It's a complete betrayal to the memory of my dad. Even it's disgraceful. I'm never going to vote Liberal again. Cannot after what they've done. I can never be a Liberal. And a lot of Canadians are feeling that way.
Yep. I mean, it's like Owen Schroyer on InfoWars. He's been saying, you know, by 2030, he's talking about America. He's like, you're either going to have America or you're going to have like the Democrat Party or Liberals, right? Like you basically one or the other. You can't have both. Either America's going to fall or that ideology is going to fall. Like you can't have both. You know what I mean? So freedom and then that can be extrapolated to Canada. Like, you know, Canada is a free country, you know, by all of, like people value their freedom. You know, it's it's either going to be freedom for humanity or it's going to be this liberal ideology. You can't have both. Yeah. Cannot have
when in the early 1903 or 1904, somewhere there, my dates are kind of fuzzy, but that was when the province of Alberta was established. Okay. And I'm going somewhere with this, hear me out. Alberta opened up its prairies. It's the north part of the Great Plains from the U.S. border all the way up to, you know, really cold parts of Canada. That's like the north end of the Great Plains is you know, Alberta has that. And they opened up all their land to be claimed for farming and ranching. And a lot of people from the United States came up across the border and claimed a lot of that land. So there's this real big freedom legacy in Alberta that exists to this day, and we owe it to the Americans who came up and homesteaded in Alberta and carried that culture on through into their kids and grandkids, who are right now at the front line of holding freedom in Canada. A lot of medical professionals are moving to Alberta. They're defying Trudeau with the Sovereignty Act. There's a bank called Bow Valley Credit Union in Alberta that is denouncing the digital currency, and all of their money is backed by gold. They're actually making sense. And so, you know, I had a friend tell me around the start of Jobless Jobs that it's going to get really bad in Canada. And this was her prediction. But we're going to end up watching a large part of the economy in Canada and the U.S. fail. And we're all going to suffer. But then because of our natural resources, the United States is going to come up and make a deal and rescue us from global tyranny. And that was her prediction. And I'm open to that. I'm open to that theory of the future. But I also think that the American culture that stood strong in the legacy and existence of Alberta might be the point of that arrow. So, you know, thank you guys for all your talk of freedom that we used to make fun of.
There you go, dude. Freaking, hey, everybody got a big dose of, like realizing how important freedom is. Like all of us just took it for granted. Like I never even, like I never thought about it. Never. I mean, it's just something that was just always there, but now it's like, oh, it's a whole thing, you know? So, okay. Right on, George. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, man. Like
just keep
up the amazing work.
Thank you. We will appreciate
it. George. Looking forward to connecting with you soon too. We'll get you on our Instagram and we'll be sure to shout you out soon and all that good stuff. Really appreciate all of your hard work.
Thank you. Yeah. I love what you're doing too. You know, and I'd love to spread the word of Unjected throughout Canada as well. We've had a lot of people ask us to start a dating site, but we won't do it.
We got Canada covered.
Yeah, we're happy to spread the word about you guys. So thanks for doing what you're doing. It's very important.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. Right on. And so yeah, everybody, thank you for tuning in. You guys get your Spike support. If you got all that Spike shedding nonsense you're dealing with, Spike support, destroyspike.com, get you some of that. And then
unjected.com, use the code unjected show for 50% off. Like, come on, you guys. You can't even. That's the best deal ever. So go try it out. We just had all of our amazing updates and hop on our live a little bit later. The Unvaxxed Lounge. Come say hi to us. Come chat and bring your bios. And we look forward to matching you guys.
Perfect. Awesome. We'll see you guys in just a few minutes. So until next time, stay natural.
Stay free. Stay injected. Thanks, George.